Congregation, the scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 8. And we read the verses 5 through 17. Matthew chapter 8. And we read the verses 5 through 17. And there we read God's holy word. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, Go, and he goeth. And to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So far the reading of God's holy word. The text for the sermon is verse 17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Beloved congregation, we are experiencing remarkable days. Was it a few months ago that we hoped that we had seen the end of this COVID-19? Recently, again, an outbreak took place, and people are sick in the Dundas congregation, and I presume also here and in the Oxford setting. And with these new variants, we see that people are again becoming sick. And 2 weeks ago in the Dundas congregation, there were only three elders, I should say three members of the consistory in church, while the others were accustomed to meet all together. Normally, they were all home because of some form of degree of sickness. And at that time, one third of the congregation was only in church. Well, normally it is quite filled up. And that led me last week to prepare a sermon on sickness. And hopefully that can be a word in due season. Because we are to look at the circumstances we are in and to consider what does the Lord have to say with this all. It should not be that we just hope it'll blow over and we carry on with life. Because then we are just like the people of Israel whom the minor prophets had to rebuke, that the Lord said, I've smitten you with mildew and with sickness, and you have felt no pain. Now that's a temptation. It sounds strange, but it's a temptation to be smitten and not to feel pain. We just carry on as if nothing happened. But the Lord leads all things, and whatever interference of man there may have been, the Lord is in control of everything, every leaf that falls from the tree is by His guidance. Not a hair can fall from your head without His will. And so it's becoming quite severe again, also in the Netherlands, when again hospitals are filling up and people are moved to hospitals in Germany. Well, when we view all this, what must we say? How are we to look at it? Well, for sure we may say it is a judgment of the Lord upon the whole human race, because sins are abounding everywhere. In every nation, children are aborted, killed. What used to be the most safe place for an unborn child is now a most dangerous place because of the wickedness of man. And how God's word is trampled upon, also in churches that call themselves Reformed. And so we may say that there is much sin abounding. It's no wonder that we get a judgment. And it is a wonder, a miracle, that the judgment isn't worse, because we deserve far more, and we too. Because we who know the way so well, we who know what the Lord calls us to do, what do we do in life? Is there true humility in our lives? Are we anxious for the well-being of our soul? Do we hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do we weep and mourn because of our poverty, our spiritual poverty, although we may have received spiritual blessings of the Lord? Can we say with the Apostle Paul, wretched man that I am? And so we can go on. Where is the fruit in my life and in your life? So there's every reason that we would humble ourselves. And so this virus is a call to repentance. And at the same time, as we consider all these events, we also are reminded of that tender verse that we just read, that the Lord Jesus came not to judge, but He came to save. And that in the midst of judgments, the word is still very true, that He Himself took our infirmities and He bare our sicknesses. So this morning we wish to consider lessons in sickness. And we see in the first place corruption, in the second place compassion, and in the third place consolation. So we look in the first place at corruption. That's our corruption. Sickness shows us that we are corrupt people, mortal. And in God's word speaks often about sickness. It's very clear. Joseph was summoned to go to his dad because his father Jacob was sick. Elisha, the godly prophet who performed so many miracles as none other in the Old Testament, he himself fell sick. And Hezekiah, was sick unto death, godly Hezekiah. And people brought their sick people to the Lord Jesus. Peter's mother-in-law was sick of a fever. And a man who was sick of the palsy, that means, boys and girls, he was paralyzed, he was brought to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus told his disciples to preach the gospel and to heal the sick. That does not mean that the purpose of the preaching of the gospel is that sick would be healed, but it was a sign of the coming of his kingdom. It was a sign underscoring the preaching of the disciples. And Lazarus, whom Jesus loved, fell sick. Dorcas fell sick, and she died. So many, many times we find in Scripture reference to sickness. And actually, that's going to happen to all of us. We're all going to be sick, and we'll all die. All of us. You and me, we're all going to fall sick, and we're all going to die. And that is because of our corruption, because of our sin. We have fallen away from God, and we know that. That's how sickness came into this world. Originally, there was no sickness. Originally, everything was good. And now the Lord is still in control of what happens in this world and is still in control of what happens in your and my life. Nothing happens by chance. And so sickness originates from God as a result of our sin. Now many who are sick, they hope to regain health and to carry on with life. But then they have learned nothing. Sickness is unpleasant, can be painful, and we hope and pray for healing. But we need to do more than just a hope for healing. We need to pray to God that our sickness would be to the glory of God, just as it was with Lazarus. This sickness is unto the glory of God, the Lord Jesus said. What a blessing if we would come through a sickness and be the better for it. That we would see more who the Lord is. That it would lead one closer to salvation. We understand that we can never make a direct link between sickness and sin. When one person falls sick and the other doesn't, it doesn't mean that that one person has sinned more in life. That's not true. But we can say, in general, that sickness originates because of our sin. And actually, we deserve many judgments of God. And if God will be dealing with us according to justice and His righteousness, we would not be sitting or standing here this morning. And so in the midst of all this, let us realize it is appointed unto man once to die. And then judgment will follow. So sickness, when it hits us, reminds us of our mortality, our corruption. Now we're always pushing off that day when we will leave this life. We live as if we were never going to die. We know we will, but we don't think about that. Even older people, they always look ahead. And as such, it's not wrong to make plans for the future and have your hopes. But we must realize, above all, that we're only here for a limited amount of time. And we should be alert that we do not live in this world and all the blessings, the legitimate blessings and privileges and pleasures the Lord gives us, that we should not live as if this was our eternal home. Because then we're just like that man in the parable who built bigger barns because he was going to live for many years. And so a sickness can shake us up. Sickness reminds us that we have to die, that we have to meet God. How often do you think about that solemn appointment that we cannot cancel, that you and I will meet God? And then the question comes to the fore, how shall I meet a righteous God? How shall I meet God and be justified in His sight? So sickness reminds us of our physical corruption. It reminds us that we have corrupt minds, that our heart is an impure fountain, and this should lead us to humble ourselves before God. And wherever we go, whether we are in church or when we have our private devotions, we always have that inclination to have wrong thoughts, to have evil thoughts, and even worse. And so our aim in life should be to be delivered from that wicked fountain of corruption that is within us. And sickness can be advantageous for that. Sickness can help us to think seriously about God, about our souls. When you're healthy, you just do the daily things. And then we look at the things of this world. But when the Lord calls you to be in a sick room, you're often alone. Hours of the day you're alone. And you hear the sounds of other people in the home, but you are in your sick room alone. I spoke to someone who was in ICU last week. He said, you're hours and hours just on your own. If time to think. Normally in life we're looking around us at all the things that life has to offer, but when you're sick, you're lying on your bed and can only look upward. And you have to think about who God is. If at least we have the strength then to think. And often a prayer will be just very short, because the strength can fail us. But the loneliness can be a blessing. At night when you can't sleep and you're sick and you long for the morning, then we can think, what will it be to be in eternal darkness? And that so we would run and flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we would acknowledge Him as have been so good to us in our lives. And that we must realize that afflictions that come upon us are intended to be to our well-being. And so the Lord is speaking to us, reminding us of our corruption. You know, if we would always be living in this world, these admonitions would be unnecessary. But we're not. We're on our way to our long home. And nobody can die in our place. It's you and me personally. And how can we be prepared then? In the midst of our corruption, we can only be prepared by a living communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do you gain a living communion with the Lord Jesus Christ? By letting Him speak to you. And He speaks through His Word. And that you reflect on His Word. That you compare your life, how you have lived, to what the Lord has called you to be. And then you humble yourself. And then you understand the prodigal son who said, "I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. If I could be one of your slaves, that would be such a privilege for me. But I'm not worthy of that." Then you lose all your rights and you become a needy, poor sinner. And then you look to Him who has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You turn to the living Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you confess your corruption before Him. And the more you prepare yourselves in your healthy days, the more equipped you will be in the days of sickness when strength can fail you. And so we need a living communion with the Lord Jesus Christ that's worked by His Holy Spirit. We can't work that. But graciously, the Lord is willing to give impressions. And He will do that in His time, at His way, and in His manner, and in the level that He deems right for you. But your cries are not hidden from Him. And He delights when you humble yourself before Him. And then His Spirit will respond. Because has the Lord not said to every one of us, "Open your mouth wide and I will fill it"? And then you become more and more aware of the one thing needful, that's to be in Christ. And He becomes the aim in your life. Because He only can take care of me. Who will take care of you when you will leave this life? Your loved ones may be standing around you, or maybe even not. But who will hold your hand? Well, yes, your wife or your husband or your child may hold your hand, but they can't come along with you through the gate of death. Who will go with you in the shadow of death, in that valley? You need a living communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like Ryle says in his chapter on sickness, I think in Practical Religion. There he says, either you have a soul or you have not. Well, for sure you have a soul, and therefore seek that soul's salvation. It's reckless to live on without really knowing the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. And likewise, Ryle says, either you have sins or you have none. But what's the case in your life? Surely we have sins. Well, the Lord calls us to forsake them and to flee to the Lord Jesus without delay. Commit your soul to His keeping. How we need, congregation, a living communion with Christ. And that living communion should not be sought, as I said, in your sick days. You can still try to do it then, but then often strength will fail you now in your healthy days. Because the aim is not that you only would be reconciled to God and that's enough. No, your whole life must be for Him. Your life must be renewed. Now we must reflect the image of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives and hearts. And that's the glorious life living with Christ, that He changes your life, that He molds you and makes you the person He wants you to be. That is so blessed. Then He becomes a living Savior who leads you through life, through difficulties, through stress, through situations in which you do not see a deliverance. But He is there. He leads you through. He coaches you. Because you are His, He teaches you the way you must go. And He breeds the fruit of the Spirit in your life. This is so glorious indeed. This is Christian life. And so we are reminded of our corruption and that we need to be delivered. But we also see here compassion. And that's the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is not far away in an ivory tower. He is close by. His eyes go to and fro throughout the whole earth. Compassion. He knows your frame. He looked at the multitudes when He was here, and He was moved with compassion because they were as sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion. And He has compassion when you are sick, when you are in anxiety, when you are in need. And when you think of the Lord Jesus in days of sickness, you may think of the sufferings of Christ. You have a bed to lie on. The Lord Jesus had no bed. He didn't even have a pillow. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head upon. He slept outside. In the Olive Garden. That's where He slept. While the Pharisees, they went to their homes. He had a cross to hang on when He was going to die. He had no pain stillers. He had no nurses to surround Him. He had the jeering and the mocking of those whom He had healed and unto whom He had preached the everlasting gospel. He had no loved ones around Him. The disciples, they all fled from Him. His God even forsook Him, because the Lord Jesus suffered there as the curse bearer. He took the place of His people. His suffering was vicarious in the place of His people. So He suffered excruciatingly without any comfort. And He did this all to be able to relieve you in your sufferings. Yeah, and then we come to our text. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The setting here of our text is that the Sabbath day has gone. The Lord Jesus came out of the synagogue and He healed Peter's mother-in-law by touching her. A Jew would never touch a sick person. They would become unclean. But the Lord Jesus touched her hand and immediately she was healed. And immediately she rose up and served them. When you are sick of a fever and the fever goes away, you're still weak. But she was immediately strong. And so she could serve them. And then after that, when the evening had come, then the Sabbath day was gone. Because you know that the Jewish Sabbath starts at Friday evening at sunset. And then the Sabbath starts and it stops again at Saturday evening at sunset. And then all the stores open up again. That's still the case now in Israel, in Jerusalem, on Saturday evening. It's all open again. And so then the Sabbath was gone. And so then they were allowed to carry burdens. So then they carried their sick ones to the Lord Jesus. And they stayed there the whole evening. So many people came. And it's in that setting that Matthew quotes what we read in Isaiah 53 verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now Matthew quotes this verse, but he quotes it differently. Because he is quoting from the Greek translation of the Old Testament. You understand that after the Babylonian exile, that many Jews stayed in those foreign countries and many Jews immigrated to all kinds of countries around the Mediterranean. And the current language was then Greek. And then those Hebrew children grew up, didn't know Hebrew anymore. So they couldn't read the Tanakh anymore, the Hebrew Old Testament. So then the Jews were faced with a problem. Either our offspring will not know the law of God anymore, or we have to translate it in a language that they can read. And so they 70 scholars came together and they translated the Hebrew Old Testament into Greek. And that's why it's called the Septuagint. The Greek word for 70 is in there. And that's the translation that Matthew quotes from. It's a bit different, but it's basically the same. Our griefs and our sorrows are our infirmities and our sicknesses. So the Lord Jesus did not only suffer for sin and for transgressions, the Lord Jesus also bore the consequences of sin and transgressions because he took our infirmities and he carried our sicknesses. And there we see the rich compassion of the Lord Jesus, that he took the sins of his people, but also the consequences of sin upon himself, death and suffering. You have pain. The Lord Jesus had excruciatingly pain there hanging on his own tendons on the cross. And you may have a fever. Those who were crucified had terrible fevers. And they were emaciated. They lost their physical fluids. And so they had terrible thirst. The Lord Jesus took the consequences of sin upon himself. Every time he healed a person, it wasn't cheap. The Lord Jesus was not just a miracle worker. He could just do a miracle. No, every time he did a healing, that sickness was laid upon him. He touched a leper and the leprosy vanished. And that leprosy came upon him, not physically. But he had to bear all the consequences of sin. He had to pay the price tag of all his healings. And no matter what the sickness was, he had to carry it all. He healed it and he carried it. And Isaiah saw this all happening. The suffering man of sorrows, bearing our sorrows, our griefs, our sicknesses, our weaknesses. What a comfort. The Lord Jesus bore it. And so Isaiah prophesied of matters that he himself did not even realize what they actually were. He stood, as it were, with his prophetic vision there on Calvary and pictured the substitutionary suffering of Christ. But that the Lord Jesus not only bore our iniquities, but also our sorrows, our sicknesses. The Lord Jesus is full of compassion. He is also full of compassion with you in your sickness. He knows what you're going through. He understands it. When your physical strength is weakening, is deteriorating, when you used to be able to do so much and now so little, he went through it himself. He knows it. He is full of compassion. The one is connected to the other, the sorrows and the sicknesses. But it says in Isaiah 53 and verse 4, he bore our sicknesses. Then it's immediately followed in the next verse, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The Lord Jesus did not come to heal our sicknesses. He came to save us from our sins. But the result will be that his people will be ushered into that situation when there will be no more death, no more tears, no more sorrowing, no more affliction. And now, in life, when you are fall sick, you don't have to bear it alone. He is there to alleviate you. He will be with you because he has borne also your sicknesses. And the Lord Jesus also gives healing. Many times, you may have gone through severe sickness that could have been mortal, but you recovered, remember? Because he gave you healing. Maybe throughout your entire life that you've experienced that. Healing. Because the Lord Jesus is so full of compassion, he gives healing. It's not the doctors who heal you. It's not your body that heals you. It's the Lord who heals you. Because he is the fountain of all blessings. They all come from him. He gave you strength that your body could recover. He gives health. We read it so often in Scripture that the Lord gives health. We read in Genesis 20 of the healings of Abimelech and his wife and children. We read of the sores of Job, they were healed. And David speaks of healing. And this healing comes from God. How often has he healed you? How often has he upheld you? When you were in difficult circumstances, maybe in the hospital, difficult surgeries you had to go through. But he had compassion. He strengthened you. It's of the Lord's mercies that you were not consumed. And let us therefore also show pity upon those who suffer. Let us also show compassion upon those who are sick. They're never very far from us. And so, when we know of someone who is sick, that's a call to have pity, to have compassion, a visit or a friendly inquiry or another expression of sympathy can mean much. And so in this world full of sickness and disease, We should bear one another's burdens and show brotherly kindness. And I believe that happens also in the midst of the congregation. It's a good thing to show compassion, because the Lord Jesus is filled with compassion. And so in the midst of all this, we also see consolation. There's a rich consolation in this all for you and for me, rich comfort. Because being sick can be very difficult. And yet there is a rich consolation in sickness, because through sickness you can be very blessed. Sickness can be a blessing in disguise. It can be through sickness under God's favor that your heart would be softened. By nature, we have a heart that is hard as a stone. It sees only happiness in the things of this life and of this world. But illness can correct these ideas. Through sickness, one can realize how relative this world is. For when you're sick, your prospering business cannot help you. And when you're sick, your bank account doesn't help you much. Then you realize how empty the things were that you strove for, and that this world cannot really help you at all. And then you discover what's really good, and that's health, a blessing of God, but also God's nearness, and that your heart becomes softened. And that's a deep consolation in days of sickness, that you may be going through suffering, but that the suffering will breed in you a softened heart, a heart that now cleaves to the Lord Jesus, so that your suffering is not in vain, that it's not just something that comes upon you, you have to go through. No, it can be worked by God to draw you close to Him. And then you are the better for it. That's the consolation in sickness. Your heart becomes softened. But also in sickness, it can very well be that our heart becomes humble. We are so proud and so high-minded, and very few people are free from this sin. And therefore, at times, the Lord gives sickness to humble us, that we become low and small before the Lord. And that's a blessing. Then you experience that you are poor and needy, because that's who you really are, but you thought you were much better. But now you become meek and lowly of heart. And that's a consolation to you in your sickness, that you become lowly, humble. And through sickness, it can also become very clear to us what kind of a religion we have. It can become very clear to us whether we truly know the Lord or not. And then we will see what foundation lies underneath our lives. Then we are uncovered to ourselves. So sickness can expose the worthlessness of our faith. But at the same time, it can strengthen faith in the heart of God's children. So through sickness, there is a sifting between those who really fear the Lord and those who do not. That's a comfort, if that awareness may happen to you. That's a fruit, a blessing upon sickness. And so where there is sickness, we should also pray the Lord for patience, that we would not rebel against His providential leadings, and that this sickness would be to the glory of God, and that we so bow low before the Lord, and we seek to be willing to go in His way, to be content in whatever way the Lord would lead us. And it's a rich comfort in sickness to know that the Lord is still your shepherd, and at times you can feel His nearness, and that's a rich consolation. You can be moved to tears that in spite of your sickness and in spite of your weakness, you know He is with me. He is not forsaking me. And that gives such consolation in the midst of sickness, that He is bearing this sickness along with me. He is with me. He watches over me. Then you are drawn closer to the Lord. And you become more and more aware that your only help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, this mighty one. He is with you. And you're not alone. He holds on to me, regardless what happens to me. That's faith. That's cleaving to the Lord. He is my Lord. And He is with me in these sufferings. And that's why Charles Spurgeon said in one of his sermons, I think that health is the greatest blessing that God ever sends us, except sickness, which is far better. I want to give everything to be perfectly healthy, but if I had to go over my time again, I could not get on without those sick beds. And without those bitter pains and those weary, sleepless nights, because then we are drawn to the Lord and we experience that we need His grace in the midst of all our weakness. And all this blessedness comes to us through suffering. Through suffering, a person is purged. And so His consolation is so great that our text explains the Lord has borne and carried the griefs and the sorrows of His people. The Lord Jesus endured the consequences of sin in His loneliness on the cross, in His shedding blood, in His crying, in His weeping. That's why He knows what you're going through. And He carries you all the days, also in days of sickness. His sweetness can be experienced under the bitterness of sickness. The day will come, congregation. It will be apparent if we have sought the Lord in our healthy days or not. Because a day will come when you can hardly pray anymore. And then it will be clear if the Lord is your Savior or not. And therefore flee to Him. We come back to that communion with Christ now that will assist you on your sick bed and your deathbed in the future. Therefore, seek to live close to the Lord now, and the Lord will give you a good entrance into glory, into the land where there will be no more sickness, no more death, when the Lord Jesus shall be all in all. Amen.